I'm thinking about getting myself a license.
Yeah.
I'm just starting to.
They start chatting.
I don't have to get there at 8:00 in the morning. But I wouldn't mind some food in the afternoon.
Yeah.
In Kim's class.
It's up for Kim.
It's narrower.
Yeah, right.
Not so stick for others. There's a lot of kids in the school.
This is Jerry. We have a corner.
I stand at the junction of halls where Kim's got kids going to the bathroom. And all of a sudden, the second graders are coming running through down the hall. And I'll say, stop, go back and try it again. And they look at me because they have no idea who I am. Get back there. You don't run in the hall. And their teachers are out watching them run.
How old are they?
Looks crazy.
Oh, so they're.
And then the older fifth graders, those trick kids will come running down the hall and tell them, stop, you go back where you started and walk.
Are you having fun?
I'm having a great time scaring them all.
Good for you.
I've made a handful of her kindergartners cry.
Yeah, it was a good day.
Fear works, I'll tell ya. I'll have to go do a glare at a couple of them.
Hi, this is Judge Steinheimer.
Hi, Judge. Well, we'll get going in a second.
Okay, I'm here.
This is Kevin Higgins. I stuck in too.
Hi, Judge Higgins.
Hi, Kevin.
This is Joey Arduna Hastings. I'm here as well.
Hi, Joey.
Hi, Joey.
Hi, Judge.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Good.
All right, Jamie, ready?
We are ready.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. I'd like to call the meeting to order. I'm Justice Michael Cherry, the chairman of the Indigent Defense Commission. And Jamie, is there a way you could call the roll?
I can. Justice Cherry?
Present.
Judge Herndon? Judge Russell? Judge Fairman?
Present.
Judge Shirley? Judge Kaysen? Judge Montero? Judge Young? Judge Zimmerman? Judge Higgins?
Here.
Judge Armstrong?
Here.
Joey Arduna Hastings?
Here.
Cassandra Jackson? Diane Roth?
Here.
Karen Krusenbeck?
Present.
Dana Havlick?
Here.
Franny Forsman?
Here.
Chris Hicks?
Here.
Steve Grierson? Jeff Wells?
Here.
Philip Cohn?
Here.
John Lambros?
Here.
Jennifer Lunt?
Here.
Jeremy Bosler?
Here.
Vanessa Spinazzola?
Here.
David Sheik?
Here.
Chris Lawley?
Here.
Sean Rowe?
Here.
Jeff Fontaine?
Dagny Stapleton from NACO on behalf of Jeff Fontaine.
Thank you, Dagny.
Thank you.
Alina Kilpatrick?
This is Kristen Hill. I've taken over the public defender's office here in Elko County, and so I'm here instead of Ms. Kilpatrick.
Okay, we're going to put your name on the list from now on. You were hereby anointed to be on the Indigent Defense Commission. Congratulations on your appointment, and congratulations on being the Indigent Defense Commission.
Thank you.
Okay. You've got her name?
I got it.
Great.
Anyone I missed?
This is Bob Bell in Reno.
Okay, I got you, Bob.
Drew Christensen in Las Vegas.
Okay.
And Connie Steinheimer in Reno.
I got you, Judge Steinheimer.
Thank you.
Amy Rose. Okay. Okay. I'll make the change on the distribution list. Thank you, Amy.
I didn't hear the last name. Lori Tiger?
Lori Tiger, yeah. Okay. Anyone else?
Well, thank you all for appearing today. Let's start right with any public, there's a quorum, Jamie?
There is a quorum, yes.
Okay. Public comment, is there anybody who has public comment? The guardianship meeting is upstairs, so I guess all the public comment will be up there, so we don't have to worry about any public comment. Let's go straight to review and approval of the July 13th, 2015 meeting summary, which was emailed to all of you by Jamie. Mm-hmm. Are there any additions or corrections? Yes.
Dagny Stapleton on behalf of NACO. I was here at the last meeting and just wanted to correct my name for the record in those minutes. It's D-A-G-N-Y Stapleton. Thank you.
You bet. And welcome.
Thank you.
NACO's been a very, very good part of the Indigent Defense Commission. Thank you so much for your participation.
Glad to be here.
Hearing no additions or corrections, the meeting, no further additions or corrections, the minutes will stand approved. Franny, are you ready to give your report on status update and local plan review subcommittee?
Sure. You had a memo in your file from me, and you had a couple of things that you can look at while I talk about this. The first is procedures for submission and review of local plans. And the second is appointment of private attorneys for the 405. I think Jamie also included a copy of the model plan when it was first adopted. A couple of things have happened. One of them is the July 23rd, 2015 order with regard to flat fees required an amendment to the model plan. And the other was that although we have discussed in the past procedures for the submission of local plans to the commission, we've really never enforced it. And I think there's some confusion out there as to what courts are supposed to do when they amend the plans or when they amend their procedures. So the first document is procedures for submission and review of local plans. The subcommittee was myself and Chris Lawley from the DA's office and Dana Glavak from the municipal court. So please feel free to, we wanted to make it sort of sleek and efficient, so please feel free to take a look at this and make any suggestions on it. We did change the period that all local plans should be reviewed, and that's at least every 8 years. That's longer than it was before. And it requires then a submission to the commission, which was in the procedures before, and then provides that if there are deviations or departures from the model plan, that those be pointed out and talked about in the submission. The second document then are some suggestions with regard to changing the model plan. For those of you who haven't worked with this issue before, basically the way this is set up from the original order back in 2008 is that the commission adopted the model plan, which is in your packet. That's just the model plan. It doesn't have to be adopted whole. There are actually some places in there which are totally blank and left up to the individual courts. And of course, the individual courts have a certain amount of discretion in how they carry out the function. But But then they, all of the courts then submitted local plans, except for the people who were, it was just approved, it was just originally done. Your courts, you may want to have some discussion about that, though, after there's time that the rural courts be brought into this process.
Yeah, just so, my recollection is the only counties that submitted model plans for felony cases were Washoe County and Clark County, and all the other counties, including Carson City, did not file a model.
Correct.
But we did get, we got municipal courts, and we got JP courts as well, so from the two urban counties. So we probably should talk about that, whether or not it should be expanded to the rural counties, the process for looking at the model plan and adopting the plan and submitting it. The changes in the appointment of private attorneys is the 1A compensation of contract attorneys is based upon the order, the Supreme Court order of July 23, 2015. Contract may set a base fee for the provision of services, which is subject to modification of fees based on the incentive work actually required for provision of competent counsel, and flat fee contracts are prohibited. The amendment to that is simply a requirement of tracking caseloads under the contracts. The original A under the model plan talked about considering the caseload and determining the amount of the contract. That's not in there anymore. But under B is making sure that the caseloads of contract lawyers are tracked so that we can take a look and see variations and the size of some of the contracts that are being carried out under this plan. So that's the proposed revisions. You don't have any problem with that, Jeff?
I was reading this
again. Okay. Consider applying this model plan and the submission of local plans to the rurals, because that's, I think, one of the largest problems with flat fee contracts is going to be in the rurals.
Tom, when is the limited jurisdiction meeting this year, this next year? Is it January?
January 26th through the 29th, I believe.
And where is it? Is it the Allianz?
Allianz, North
Vegas, yeah.
John and Franny, would you be willing to make an appearance on behalf of the commission to the limited jurisdiction judges and give a report on what you're talking about, on the plans?
Sure.
And I think that if you both go, we'll get an idea where everybody is on this, as far as what we should do. You know, I don't know how.
I'm happy. This is work that Franny and Chris have done. I mean, I haven't been involved in the municipal part of it. The thing that I think it begs the bigger question, and I haven't had a chance to talk to Judge Russell or Diane about this. I think Diane's here. I don't think Judge Russell's involved, but in this particular, I didn't hear him say yes when we did the roll call. But you know, obviously, the July order that the Supreme Court entered is going to beg the question in terms of whether or not now, model plans in all of the counties should be considered, as Franny discussed earlier, and I know it came up, Justice Cherry, during the Indigent Defense Commission hearing in front of the Nevada Supreme Court last December, and I can't remember, one of the justices asked me, well, isn't Carson City's contract kind of the gold standard of contracts because they had the language in there about hourly rates and that kind of thing? And frankly, I don't know what a gold standard would be, but obviously it's like what Franny was saying earlier. Given the court's order, any contract that a lawyer signs now that is nothing, is strictly flat fee, could be in violation of that order. What the remedy is, I have no idea.
What? I've talked to Judge DeBrescu and Judge Montero, and they say it's working out fine, that if somebody needs extraordinary fees, they're getting it. that the judges are being, they're doing a good job with that, so.
Well, but the problem, Justice Chair, with that is, if the contract says that you're not entitled to plat, that you can't ask for discretionary conditional fees, then that would be against the order. Again, I don't know, you know, and Judge Dresky's here, and I think Judge Fairman's here. If the white line contract, I didn't have time to read it, if it allows for the court to give discretionary fees beyond the plat, kind of like what Clark County's plan is, then again, I think that would be fine with it. It would be within the scope of the court's July order.
Judge Fairman?
The contract in White Pine County with the three defenders doesn't specifically prohibit either or any of the three attorneys from seeking extraordinary fees. Do have a flat fee basis for their contract. If in fact their overall services cannot be provided for the fees that have been set, they can go back to the county commission on a 30 days notice. But in spite of that contract, that doesn't say you can automatically come to the judges for fees. Judge DeBresky and I are of the opinion that our authority as judges to award extraordinary fees in spite of this contract is going to take precedence. We'll do it. And if there's any application that comes to our court from any of the public defender service providers for extraordinary fees in the case, we would certainly consider it and order it as appropriate.
See, Judge, I think that's one reason why it might be appropriate to have all of the counties submit a plan for that, so that everybody has a place to look. This is how the system works, rather than it depending upon, you know, the idea that a judge's order might take precedence over the county commission. I think that's leaving attorneys at a little bit of a risk there. And I just think it's appropriate that we know what each county's plan is for the provision of counsel.
Yeah, and just as a follow-up to that, Judge Fairman, if this contract that's in our packet is the current contract, it looks like it is, at page 7, the compensation and method of payment doesn't specifically give the lawyer the opportunity to petition you pursuant to the contract for extraordinary fees or fees beyond the scope of the contract. And, you know, I think it's great to hear Judge DeBresky do that, but you're doing that in your equitable capacity and not pursuant to any remedy that the lawyer may have under the contract. And I guess what you're saying is maybe other judges in other counties won't be as equitable.
I haven't heard anything from the other counties, so I don't know. But what I can do is I can have Jamie and John McCormick follow through with the counties and have and John, if you want to join in with them, John Lambros, on the especially the rural counties, and then we'll have Franny go with the limited jurisdiction judges. John McCormick or Jamie will send Franny all the information on the meeting so that she can give a presentation. If we get everybody understanding what we're trying to accomplish, I think we may be in better shape.
Justice Chair, I'm wondering if Karen or Diana are here, they may know the answer to that, or maybe NACO knows. I don't, Jeff isn't here, but I know there's a NACO representative. Maybe somebody can speak to that today.
Go ahead.
This is Dagny Stapleton from NACO. I don't know specifically. I did reach out to White Pine and Eureka a little bit, but besides that, don't know, but would happy to help gather that information.
If you'll work with Jamie and John McCormick on this, we'll just get some communications open, because one of the things I held off on was because I thought maybe that our Senate bill would pass and that we'd have an independent Indian Defense Commission. Unfortunately, it went no place, but I do want to thank NACO for his support of that. We tried, at least, and maybe next legislature we can get it on where this commission can be disbanded and we can go with a real true Indigent Defense Commission.
And just got an hour programmed in for the winter seminar for this.
Great.
So David Gordon will be contacting you, Franny, and I volunteered the whole subcommittee, so.
Great.
Okay.
So hopefully we'll have a big turnout for that. And then again, we can do it at the summit if we need to, John. We'll try to do it at the summit in in May. Is it May or April?
It's the end of April.
End of April and May, when we have everybody there. And I hope that a lot of you will maybe attend as part of the commission, and maybe John can give us a period of time where the EIDC could make a presentation to all the judges.
The summit agenda is pretty well built at this point, but we could have a side meeting or an
sure.
after hours or something.
That'd be great. And we're going to be at the, we're going to be at Tahoe.
The district court judges conference?
No, it's a summit. Every 4 years, it's a summit where all of us meet.
It'll be all the judges. It's last week of April in 16, and it's going to be at Harris Tahoe.
Great. Okay.
You get everybody there.
Justice Chairman, I think that the meeting with the limited jurisdiction courts and the rural judges would not affect a passage of these two suggested amendments, because the model plan is still only applicable to urban courts. So I'm wondering if you wanted to take a vote on the amendments to the procedures and the amendments to Chapter 5 of the model plan.
What I'd like to do is wait till we have you meet with them, and then have maybe a February meeting. Set up a February meeting. Jamie and I'll start working on a date in February. And then, because once they understand what we're doing, I don't want to shock anybody, you know, or screw the pooch on this. We're going along pretty good, and I have had good cooperation from limited jurisdiction and from the district and from the counties and from NACO. And so I'm hoping that that we don't surprise them at all. Anything else on that report, Franny?
No.
Is Hans in the room? I didn't see Hans.
Sheldon?
Where are you? Okay, if you could move up to the table so we can see you. I need you to give us an update on caseload standards. That's the one thing we're still lacking. We've been in business since 2007. We're going to go to our ninth year, and we still don't have caseload standards. I understand Washoe's in good shape and Clark's in good shape, but I'm still not sure I'm sure about public defender offices, but I'm not sure about contract attorneys or the rules. So you and Hans, your work's cut out for you to try to give us some statistics. Could you give us your report, please?
Okay. Yes, so the committee should have gotten you the statistics for fiscal year 2014 and 2015. We have been in contact with reports on there that were identified as the dashes. And for the judicial districts that aren't on there as well, we've been in contact with them. With our contacts, we should be able to get the information within a month. The only difficulty will be for the 9th Judicial District, and we will be following up to figure out how to get those statistics. We basically have to contact the 4 contract attorneys there.
Okay.
As far as the statistics go, they are one of the courts that have reported, you have the numbers there, and they should be pretty straightforward. I can entertain any questions.
Any questions to Sheldon?
We just noted that apparently this packet went out without that statistical worksheet in it. So
I'll find it.
Jamie's
well,
going to find it.
I apologize to the committee. I was talking gibberish there. There is a table put together, and I'll make sure to follow up with Hans to make sure.
Yeah, we'll get it out, Sheldon. We'll do it.
It's that one, yeah. But for some reason, it didn't.
Yeah.
Some people got it, some people didn't.
Yeah, some people, Sheldon, some people got it and some people didn't.
It's just one page.
It's one page.
These are both public defender and contract lawyers.
These are for the worksheets that are submitted either through the public defender or the courts, depending on who's the reporting agency.
Except page 94 of the packet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hide it in there.
It's just one sheet, and it's inaccurate. So your new appointments reflect the felony versus misdemeanor, and juvenile.
Is there a
but it's in
to break
there.
Those down?
Right there.
If they're combined and they're also misdemeanors and felonies,
we Andrew and I can most definitely break them out as they're reported to us. The worksheets were approved by the committee, and so that's where we're pulling our information. Everyone who is reporting is reporting for those worksheets.
And the worksheets do break it out.
They do break them out, so we can break that out. And for the next meeting, when we get the missing information, I'll make sure that we break it out by. We can identify the reports for each reporting agency. There's only one.
Okay, that's fine, yeah, that's fine. And then Melanie and Mr. Peter, is it helpful to have those investigators in with Melanie or not separately?
Yes. Diane, are you in Carson City, Diane?
Hi, John.
Hi. Do these numbers look like the numbers you got when you gathered them up last year for the rural?
The only one I was commenting on to Karen just now was Lyon County. Unless they're doing that per attorney, they look low.
Yeah, because they look way low to me.
They look way low.
How did you get your numbers, Karen? Did you go to the courts? Because I know we had some trouble. Then we had to have Judge Russell basically enter an injunction.
No, I think Justice Cherry wrote letters.
Yeah, we sent letters out.
The letters came out from AOC and Justice Cherry, and we finally got full compliance with a few extra phone calls.
A few.
A few.
They look low to me. And this, for Lyon County, I do know this is coming out of the district courts, CMS directly. So if there's other information, I need to know who has it.
If any of you have information for Sheldon or Hans, please give them a call at the Regional Justice Center and go over to the whatever.
And Diane can speak to this. Diane, you were getting your numbers straight to the court, right? You weren't getting them from the contract lawyers.
No, I was getting them from the lawyers. Because, yeah, the court doesn't keep the same numbers as the lawyers do, so you need to get them straight from the lawyers. The district court numbers for Lyon County, that may be accurate for district court, but it certainly isn't accurate for each attorney what new cases they're getting. That should be at least triple.
Hi, this is Alina from Elko. I was just wondering, did the 4th Judicial District just not report?
They have not reported for the past 2 years. We were recently in contact with, I'm sorry, I don't know who the first name was, but the last name was Hill. And we should be getting that information hopefully within the next month.
Thank you.
Any further questions to Sheldon? Okay, we'll get another report in February when we set up the meeting. Let's have a status update from Diane or John on the status of the Rural Subcommittee. Diane?
As far as I know, it's status quo.
John, you have anything to add?
Proposed model plans, studies, and get the counties and NACO involved in that. One thing I would suggest is that we build some language into these contracts that requires lawyers to keep the statistics, to keep the case with them. So that way, when we do the annual or when we go back and look at this, it won't be so difficult. The committee will be able to have access to that information a lot sooner. And the theory behind statistics, obviously, would be to kind of monitor what the caseloads look like per lawyer in every one of these counties so we can get an idea in terms of how many cases lawyers are taking on and the amount of money that they're getting.
Well, let's do number 7 and number 8 with the two people who have been keeping track of stuff, Drew and Bob Bell. Drew, how are you doing in Clark County?
Justice Cherry, on the last point in Mr. Lambros' comments, if we're going to have the rural defense attorneys track their cases, maybe we should also have them track their requests for extraordinary fees. Because it's
Yeah, we need to know that information. That's a good suggestion.
But if I might add, I'm pretty sure the legislature has a requirement that whether it's the state public defender or what everybody else falls under, even the contract attorneys, NRS 260, they're required to keep these statistics.
I don't think they have.
No, they haven't. And when we approached them for 2012-2013 fiscal years, we provided them with the forms. And I know a couple of them Humboldt County was able, they took over the forms that we used when we were out there, and so he provided them. Fred Lee was able to do it out in Elko County, but the others were just like, what are you talking about? So I explained it to them, and it's like, here are the forms, fill them out, you're supposed to be doing this. If the legislature calls on you, they're going to want answers. So I think they really need to do that.
And John, can you get some of these rules off their duffs and make sure they make the report according to Diane?
The contract attorneys are.
Oh, yeah, I'll get right on that.
You got nothing. You're retired now.
Yes, hey, rural, get off your duffs.
I think the problem is that the contract private attorneys, they want to be under 260 because that's the only other way they can exist, but then they don't want to comply with the rules of an actual office.
Why do we make this so complicated? Why can't we, you know, when I was a contract attorney, I submitted a bill, got $1,000 a month, no matter how many cases I am. And if there was a warrant, I kept that case for the rest of my life, whether I was a contract attorney or not. I don't know why we're making this so difficult.
It's because we want to know the caseload, and they don't want to tell us what the caseload is.
Because we need to know the caseload, Justice Cherry.
But what's 9 years? Maybe we'll just wait till another nine and go to 18. That's high. That means life in the Hebrew.
NRS 260.070 Annual Reports. The public defender shall make an annual report to the Board of County Commissioners covering all cases handled by his or her office during the preceding year.
It doesn't say anything about contract attorneys.
But they fall under that.
But they fall under that because there is no specific contract provision.
That's the only way they can exist is if they say they're under 260. Otherwise, there is no existence of a contract attorney. They can either be Nevada State Public Defender under 180 or institutional office under 260, and they claim they're under institutional office 260.
Because when I started, there was the Nevada public defender, the state public defender handled everything, and a contract attorney got $300 if it was a murder case. It didn't matter. And then we had the public defender offices. You know, I don't know. I don't know if we're going to be able to get this on, to tell you the truth, to get people to start reporting.
Well, I think with the order from the court.
Drew, what do you think? Can you get, how many contract attorneys do you have?
We have 30, just share, this is Drew Christensen. We have 37 adult track attorneys in Clark County. And they contract with us that monthly. They must submit a form that we provide them to fill out how many appointments they received in that month, how many are currently active, at what level are they in justice court or district court, set for trial, and how many active cases, how many closed, and the like. So we put all that information in monthly into a database to track all our 37 attorneys that have a monthly contract.
Bob Bell, how many contract attorneys do you have?
Justice Cherry, we have about 32 attorneys right now.
So between the two offices, we've got 70 attorneys. We've got who are not doing
no,
the...
Judge.
Not there.
Justice Cherry.
Yes.
In Las Vegas, those are the 37 that have the monthly contracts that appear on the non-life conference the public defender can't have. We have a total of 140 contracts, or more than that, 150 contracts here in Clark County to handle a wide variety of hourly appointments. Murder, capital murder, sexual assault. So we have 37 attorneys who have monthly contracts to appear in a particular courtroom. We have 150 overall that handle the live consequence conflicts for public defenders that are especially
important. Which, Justice Cherry, is why we've never really complained about Franny's no flat fee contract, because we have far more of our attorneys who are taking hourly cases than we actually have on a fee basis.
Thank you. You know, I mean, just a quick footnote to Franny's. This is more of an 88 contract, but in any event, I would think, Justice Cherry, that you know, I mean, I used to do contracts too, and back in the day when you get $15 in court, $25 in court, and $15 out of court. So when I would incentivize my partner, I would keep track of how many cases we did. So the next year when we asked for our new contract, we'd say, oh, look what we gave you guys. We gave you 300,000 cases for $250. You know, so I don't really see how I would think that the normal contract lawyer out there who is trying to build his or her business and still do a good job would want to keep track of those statistics.
But they don't. That was my experience.
Madison, I didn't.
The last time we asked for statistics, we didn't ask for them from all the conflict attorneys like in Clark and Washoe. We just wanted the main contract attorneys from the rurals. And they were not keeping track, even though I asked them, how do you go back to the county commissioners and then ask for an increase or ask for another attorney if you don't have these numbers? And they just go,
I just don't know how to handle the 260 in this situation to try to get the caseloads. I mean, I don't know if that's going to help us.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we got them in 2012, 2013 from the main contracts.
But I'm talking about for all of them. I mean, why should Washoe or Clark have to do things that nobody else has to do? That's not fair. Of course, life's not fair. So
well, Washoe and Clark, the main offices have to do it.
Justice Cherry, I just don't see this as an onerous responsibility. You're not asking them to keep time. Now, I know in municipal court here, the only way they can get the extraordinary fees is if they keep time, isn't that right?
I kept time.
Yeah, the new contract. But we're not asking them to keep time. We're just asking them to count cases.
Well, I have
just don't see it as ours.
There must be a reason why you want the cases counted, Jeff, right?
Sure. Yeah, we count both the cases for the track lawyers and then for all of the hourly appointments. We have to track their time and submit the bills.
Well, can we get that information to Jamie? Can we get the information from Bob Bell and from Drew Christensen? And so we have something to start with as to the court-appointed the contract attorneys?
We keep it out.
Yeah, we have it now. We've had it since Drew and I sort of wrote the original model plan 8 years ago.
All right. How long will it take you, Bob and Drew, to get it to Jamie? Could I have a date? Can we have it by the first week in January or the second week in January? I don't want to ruin anybody's Thanksgiving or Christmas or Hanukkah, those of you
who are not Christians. I'll try to get it to them next week.
Justice Chair, this is Bob Bell.
Yes.
What exactly do you want again now from us?
Franny, will you tell them what we want? She understands, I don't. Franny?
Sure.
Yeah, tell Bob Bell what we need, exactly. That's so easy.
I want you to do what Drew's doing.
let me say we're set up a little different than Drew. He's got contract attorneys that cover certain courts and so forth. We just have 32 attorneys that take cases on a per case basis. We don't have contracts with them. Some take them on all different areas, but not on a full contract basis like Drew's attorney. So we're set up a little differently. As I understand it, you want just how many attorneys we have and how many cases they currently are holding. Is that correct, Franny?
Well, actually, yeah, what really wasn't my request, so I'm not totally prepared to say how it should be broken down. I think with Drew and Jeff, you find whatever you're doing useful, right, to evaluate the program. So there's how many, what are the elements, Drew, that you have? You have number of cases that you're appointed to, and then a monthly report also requires what else?
Well, they've never done this. They don't know what it's like to do this. I did it for years.
Justice court,
it's not as easy as they think.
If it's in district court, it's a separate trial. And then how the entire, how many active felony cases you have, and how many separate trials.
You're asking that from your non-track lawyers, too?
No, because I know that because the appointments go through us. So anytime there's an hourly appointment, which in Clark County suggests it's a life consequence case that public defender can accept. Don't come to our office. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So I think Bob would be helped by your non-contract lawyer.
How many cases it could be as simple as how many cases at the beginning of the month did you have? How many new appointments did you accept? You know, and how many are pending at the end of the period? And what kind of cases are they? Are they felony, misdemeanor, gross misdemeanor?
And we keep our
database. I know there's family stuff too.
Yes, we do family and juvenile as well. And we keep our own databases on those statistics of, you know, giving out cases and that sort of thing. And as Drew said, you know, he knows exactly how much it is on an hourly, and so do I, because they submit the bills to me on an hourly basis. So, yeah, we can track that. I'll try to get together with you, Franny, and I'll put some stuff together. It may take us a while to go through our database because they have not been reporting to us like they are required to do, apparently, with Drew in Las Vegas. We just kept our own statistics, but if we're getting into a new new system where you want them reporting to us on a monthly basis, then we're going to have to, you know, figure that out.
Well, it could be, Bob, from what you're saying, and you and I can talk later, but from what you're saying, it sounds like you may already have the numbers. Because you're making
we would have the numbers statistically, yes, that we keep our own stats at, that the attorneys don't report to us, yes.
Right, probably your numbers are going to be more accurate. If you're making all of the assignments and they're not getting assignments directly from the court, it sounds like you may already have the data.
Correct.
Well, that's good news.
Justice Cherry?
Yes.
Justice Cherry, let me see if I understand what we're doing here then. Because it just seems to me that we're giving Bob work that he doesn't really need to do. If all of his lawyers in every one of his cases in Washoe County get paid by the hour once they get the case, we don't need those numbers because they're getting paid by the hour. They're not like Cruz track lawyers who are getting a monthly salary and are not getting any additional compensation unless X, Y, or Z happens in the case. So to me, Bob's numbers really are not relevant to the concern that the court's flat fee order addresses it.
But it's not the flat fee, John. It's the caseload. We're talking about caseloads. We're not talking about flat fee right now.
I understand. But to me, they're like Siamese twins. Caseloads and flat fees. Because at the end of the day, what we want to know is what the caseloads are in counties that have flat fee contracts with, like getting back to Judge Fairman in Ely, where Judge Fairman and Judge Rescue are friendly forms to get additional funds, even though the contract doesn't allow for that. So I'm thinking that you're putting me on this fool's errand to go out to all these counties and get their contracts, and these contracts don't have the discretionary additional fee language in it, that I think we need to know how many cases each one of these contract lawyers are doing per year, which gets us back to what's the problem with them counting those cases? They're doing it in counties where they're getting discretionary additional fees anyway. I mean, aren't they doing it in Carson City, Karen? Didn't Noel and Ben Walker and don't they keep their numbers so they can give it to the supervisors every year or 2 years when their contracts are renewed?
No, not across the board. I think we're still waiting for Ben Walker's numbers from 2012.
I don't know. It just seems that number one, it's not that onerous a task. I mean, I'm sure Chris Lawley's office keeps track of how many cases they prosecute every year. What do you think, Chris? Do you keep track of the numbers?
In a very crude manner, we do a better job than accounting.
And you keep track of those because?
We're required to report them to the state.
Exactly. But aren't you doing it also because you might want to get more money from Clark County for more personnel and resources?
We compare caseloads. Like if you look at what our deputies do versus what happened in Brooklyn and other areas, everyone is really shocked. But yes, we do. And we compare caseloads with other counties. It's better.
John McCormick has a suggestion.
I mean, aside from the night hiring another contract attorney, is there really going to be a substantive difference from the last time that we collected the numbers from the contract lawyers? I mean, if we're trying to get numbers to start thinking about making some recommendations for caseloads, I think we could look at the numbers that we got for the last Rural report, and that would give us a good idea in most of it, and then we can look at the urban caseloads as well and kind of compare and see what we're getting as far as cases per attorney, so the commission can start to decide about what kind of recommendations they want to make.
And I thought that's why we did that survey too in 2012, 2013, which we got some very rough numbers from some of the contract attorneys, but I think it's a good jumping off point. I mean, the graph showed which counties were way out of whack and which ones were adequate. Well,
and Douglas County reported high and they ended up hiring another track lawyer.
Exactly.
And so, I mean, I think there was some movement from that survey. So we could, again, look at those numbers to start this discussion rather than, again, because we've run into this problem every year for the last 8 years on IDC is getting accurate data and getting those numbers, and it's always been a struggle because of the 260 issues, because of a number of issues. And so I think what we got in 13 was probably the best set of numbers we've got in quite some time. So
I think it's the best you're going to get.
We could start, use that as a jumping off spot, like Diane said.
Just to Jerry?
Yes.
This is Jeff Wells again.
Jeff.
I don't think our numbers are going to be much different than what John just said. Our track lawyers probably have between, they probably take new cases of 90 to 120 a year. Is probably the range they're in, and some percentage of that will actually then convert over to hourly cases. I think Phil's office is probably 165 to 170 right this second. It's been down into the 150s, back up into the 160s.
Felonies?
Yeah,
felonies.
That's felonies. Those are felonies. All of these were felonies, all the numbers I'm giving. So I don't think it's going to be dramatically different than that, if you need that as just a quick place to start.
Yeah, and I think if Diane's happy with the numbers that she accumulated last summer, summer of 2014, I'm sorry. It sounds good to me. I mean, that way we don't have to go back and, you know, do what we've already done get people doing busy work on this.
Well, let's,
Diane did a good job.
Let's try that for the February meeting. But meanwhile, Franny, that still means you need to go for the other Siamese twin, which is the flat fee contracts. We need to get that straightened out with the limited jurisdiction. Either we get it straightened out, or Amy Rose is going to get straightened out with the deposition.
Prerequisite in having the amendments considered, because then we can also talk about whether or not you want to do any additional requirements for collecting data.
Okay.
So,
yeah. That's great.
But I'm happy to do that, Justice Chair, and then we'll report back in February, because that the limited jurisdiction is in January, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to send you the information. Also, Phil and David and Jeremy and Jennifer, anything to add about the public defender's offices in Washoe or Clark? Any news we need to know?
Nothing from Clark County.
Just Jerry.
Yes, Jeremy.
Go ahead, Phil.
No, I said something.
Washoe. I'll be quiet. Phil, go ahead. Sorry.
No, Jeremy, go ahead.
I'm done.
From Washoe County, things are consistent with the comments we made at the July meeting. There still is concern over the pace of restorative treatment for those people who've been found incompetent. We've had a big increase in voluntary commitment cases, and we're working with Chief Justice Hardesty on the pretrial risk assessment and release plans. That's all I have to report.
Great. Jennifer, you have anything?
Nope, nothing at all. We're just rolling along.
Okay, anybody, any rural jurisdiction judges want the same thing? Tom, you got anything you want to say?
Nope,
yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah, Justice Cherry, this is Judge Fairman.
Judge, go ahead.
As you know, we were with the State Public Defender's Office since the 70s until May of this year, at which time we entered into three contracts with the attorneys, and you have copies of those contracts. By the way, our contract does provide for the attorneys to track their caseloads and report quarterly to the county. As of today, just to give you a little outline from our tracking, the three attorneys are averaging about 80 total cases of all types: misdemeanors, felonies, gross misdemeanors, juvenile cases, dependency. That's their total caseload per attorney for all of the cases. So it appears manageable given the number of cases that are required to complete part of the contract. We're fortunate to have very experienced, competent counsel, two of which have lived in rural Nevada for many, many years. This is going to be their home, they're stable, they're part of the community. And a new attorney that's part of the group that's been here for about 2 years now, that's making her home here, she and her husband. And what we've seen is where these private attorneys appeared in court significantly on private matters or the institutions of the contracts earlier this year. We don't see any of these private attorneys at all in court anymore. It appears that they're pretty much limiting their work, although they don't have to the public defender contracts that they're obligated to. By the same token, we see other private counsel in the area, their caseloads have picked up, and we carry on our carts far more often. So the cases that we had come before us with our new contracts have been thoroughly vetted, and I can speak for both Judge Dabreski and myself, is it's been a good deal for the courts and for the county so far.
Well, thank you, Judge Fairman. And thank Judge Dabreski for us too, yes?
Judge Fairman, this is Diane. And on your statistics that they're reporting for the purposes of the Rural Commission, are they breaking them down as to felony, misdemeanor, gross misdemeanor, juvenile, 432B? I mean,
yes, I did. Yes, they do that. I just wanted the totals per attorney right now.
That's fine. I just want to make sure that they're breaking them down, because that's where caseload standards are going to come from, is the breakdown. Okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Karen, State Public Defender, any news?
Well, since the Supreme Court order came down in July, I did receive one phone call from Elko, I believe it was Ms. Kilpatrick, requesting that we appear on a possible death penalty case out there, which presented an interesting dilemma since we're not staffed or funded for that. But it resolved itself, I believe, without us having to appear. But people are aware of the order, and we're in a difficult spot of having the unfunded mandate to defend all death penalty cases in the rural. So it's going to be an interesting journey to see how this plays out. But that was the most exciting thing that happened to us.
I guess it's the governor who could call.
The case resolved? Is that what happened?
I believe what happened is it was an individual that had to be extradited from Mexico, and there was some kind of an agreement
right. That
the death penalty couldn't be sought. So we were spared that, but it probably will come up again. So we're just waiting to see what happens.
It's okay. The next thing is something I'm going to report on. We're going to actually have an ADKT in December, on December 10th, which is my birthday. We're going to talk about Fast Track. And what Chief Justice Hardesty did was just put a proposal out. It's not set in stone. He told me, assured me it's not set in stone as to what type of fast track cases we'll do, whether it be CD&E cases or just E cases or never. So I expect a lot of you to come and testify, because many members of this commission have been saying we need to get rid of fast track. And also, the one thing I want is to make everybody understand that I've been assured by Phaedra Kalecki, who's in charge of central staff, that if you want full briefing on any case, you're going to get it. If you request full briefing and you don't get it, please call me right away, because I've been promised that if you want full briefing, and I know a lot of attorneys would rather do fast track on some no merit, especially no merit briefs, what we used to call Sanchez briefs when I was a public defender. But this is a chance for us to get rid of fast track completely and just go to regular briefing like real appellate lawyers and real appellate judges. I was just at the conference of appellate judges. I'm on the exec committee there with over 300 judges and lawyers and staff attorneys. And I don't know who has fast track besides us. I think most people don't even know what I'm talking about when I talk about fast track. This was done as an emergency measure, and it's been too long. And when we get assigned a fast track case, it's ridiculous trying to read it. You read all the bullshit before you get to the merits. I want to read the merits, and then they can do the bullshit. So that's the way I feel. So I will be adamant about getting rid of fast track, period. I don't know if I had the votes, but if some of you can come and testify and convince us that we don't need fast track anymore. It's just as easy to do a 20-page brief as is a fast track statement. It makes no sense to me to put all the other junk in there. Yes?
I agree with what you said. I'm a little surprised that the court is doing this in December. I mean, my recollection is this commission had a fast track subcommittee put together, and we had some good people on that subcommittee. It was Phaedra and Chris Lawley. I think you were on that one, Chris. I know there was somebody. Oh, it was Nancy Becker and me and yeah. Anyway, here's the deal. There was a subcommittee to make recommendations to the court, which we did, and it had to do with being able to write a reply brief. But my recollection, and I probably should have gone back got these minutes from that meeting, but that committee made recommendations to the court to, if they didn't get rid of fast track, get rid of the rule that required trial counsel to do the appeal and allow the appointing authorities in respective judicial districts, through law in the two biggest counties in the state, to develop an appellate panel to do the appeals that the trial lawyers didn't want to do. Most trial lawyers don't want to do the appeal, but the trial lawyers that are on the tracks down here and doing court-appointed cases in Washoe County have to do the appeals because the rule makes it. That puts conflict lawyers at a distinct disadvantage from lawyers that are in institutional defender offices that have appellate units, like Jeremy's and Jennifer's and Bill's and David's and Karen's. So, you know, we couldn't even get that on the court. So my concern is, we might be, and with all due respect to the court, there hasn't been a lot of enthusiasm with the court to get rid of fast track.
When we went to numerous places about the Court of Appeals, one of the promises made was that we'd get rid of fast track. That was a promise made by the Chief Justice. And I held him to that promise. And the only way to get anything done in this organization is to get an ADK on calendar. And then you can say whatever you want about it, and then we have to vote. We're forced to vote and to make our how we feel on these issues. And my feeling is we don't need fast track anymore. We've got a Court of Appeals. We've got seven of us doing where our caseload is now down to about 1,400 cases. Of course, we gave 800 cases to the Court of Appeals. But they're doing the food cases and all the things that most people said, are they going to do all the shit cases? Yes, they are, as a matter of fact. But we still have our emergencies. And the other thing, John, is every Friday or every Monday, I get the portable agenda, and guess what's on there? Sanctions for who? Sanctions for fast-track appeals. Sanction after sanction after sanction. So that's why I said to Hardesty, put this thing on. And this is...
Two points then, Judge, Justice Church. If that's a motion, I'll second it. Why don't we have the commission vote on it right now that it's the commission's recommendation to the court on December 10th that fast track be abolished?
Because I don't want to go that far if I can't get it on. In other words, let me hear what my colleagues have to say in December, and then February when I come back, you know, we can memorialize how we feel, but we may get, watch out what you wish for. Sometimes you get it. There may be some contract attorneys and other people who come forward and say, no, I want to do a fast track. I don't want to do full briefing. But I just want to make sure that at least at this point, while fast track is still alive, that if you want full briefing and you ask for full briefing and you don't get it, that you call me up and I go to Fader and say, how come they didn't get full briefing? And I need a good explanation because I was promised when you did your subcommittee that if anybody wanted full briefing, they'd get it. But there are a lot of attorneys that I've talked to that don't care for it.
Just sure. The only people that wanted full briefing were the people that had 90% of those requests came from institutional defender offices, not from individual contract lawyers. They're the ones that would just write up a quick fast track statement, and penmanship probably worse than Gideon versus Wainwright. I mean, I saw these briefs. Fader brought the briefs to our committee meetings. They were terrible. I get what you're saying.
Well, that's why we want to get rid of it. That's the whole thing. This is the way to do it, though, with an ADKT.
This is Phil Cohn, and I have the same concern that John does, not just for the track attorneys, but what happens when the private attorney who spent a number of hours doing the trial and says, I was not retained for the appeal. Where are those cases going to go, and if they're going to the public defender's office, either up north or down south, this is a discussion we have to have because I don't have the number of people on appeals that can now take every single one of the private guys and say, hey, I wasn't hired for that. And so I think we need to address that on December 10th as much as we have to address how the appeal, what form the appeal is going to be in. Because I don't mind getting those cases, but Jeff Wells is going to have to pony up a little bit of money for that, and that's a discussion we're going to have.
Phil, this is nothing new. When I was in private practice with Bayless, we did a lot of cases, and they were murder cases and heavy felony cases of private attorneys who dumped the case. What you need to talk to is Dave Barker, the chief judge, and Doug Herndon, and whoever the presiding, the chief judge, and Dave Hardy in Washoe to say, how are you going to do this if we get rid of fast track? And it's very important as to private attorneys, you can't make somebody do an appeal if they don't want to do appeal. You know, we've started an appellate section of the state bar, and I go to all the meetings because I think appellate law is now a specialty in this jurisdiction. My colleagues are always complaining about the briefs, full briefing. How come the brief stinks? How come they didn't raise issue? And, you know, they shove it down everybody's throat. We're talking about heavy-duty sentences by Washoe judges and by Clark County judges. you know, I don't even want to say anything about the rules. Who knows what the how they feel.
Justice Cherry.
Yes.
I agree with you. This is Phil Carr. I agree with you. But the problem is, I know exactly what Judge Barker and Judge Ranger are going to say. That's a Supreme Court problem. The case is up to the Supreme Court.
No, it isn't.
If someone says they don't want to do the appeal.
You're talking about somebody who was in the trenches for 28 years. I know what the problem is. The problem is there as to figure out if Jeff wants to start, if Drew wants to start some type of, if these people are indigent, there's of course entitled to private counsel, to appointed counsel. And that's where Drew comes in and Jeff comes in. I'm sure they can work out something. I'm sure Bob can work out something with the court administrator, Joy, in Washoe. Something can be worked out without involving us because we do sanctions on these issues. You don't understand, every Friday it's, and I just got the list because it wasn't Friday, I got it today, of all the sanctions of people failing to file the fast-track statement. Can you imagine getting sanctioned $500 for not filing a fast-track statement? You know, it gets to be the point where some of them, they're multiple offenders. They're serial offenders of the fast-track deal. So these are issues, but the only way to all of you, the only way that anything is resolved in this jurisdiction, in the Supreme Court, is to put it on calendar. And then all of you can say what you need to say and let us see what we can do. The only one who ever practiced criminal law is me. I understand. I was in the trenches. I have to do an education spot with all my colleagues to let them know exactly how this works as public defenders, as special public defenders, alternate public defenders, contract attorneys, and hourly contract attorneys, track attorneys. I've been to all of them. And so give us a chance on December 10th. It's my 71st birthday. You don't even have to bring a cake. Just bring some good argument as to why fast track doesn't work.
Justice Cherry, I have just two things. One is that
that was a good final argument, by the way.
Has drafted some language to deal with both the continuity of counsel issue as well as the full briefing issue, which I think I'll submit as part of our comments.
Great.
Secondly, do you have are there statistics on as the current proposal would exempt A and B felonies from the fast track. Do we know how many cases, direct appeal cases, would constitute the C, D, and E felonies? I've never seen a C, D, or E felony, so I don't even know what those are. But
I don't think we have.
So they could actually calculate. I don't know how many of those actually end up on appeal, so you may not. Not doing away with A, B, C, D, and E might not be any different than doing away with A and B, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but just because we recommended A and B doesn't mean that's the way it's going to be. In other words, I'd like to go through the whole alphabet, but and I made sure that the Chief Justice knew that was my feeling. He said, but let's start someplace. He's good enough to put it on calendar for me. He did it for me. Otherwise, we'd still be doing committee reports and subcommittee reports. So this is a way that we're going to have to vote on it and see where we are. And I'm sure Phaedra will be testifying on it, and John and Franny and folks from Washoe, the folks from Clark. We'll see where we are. Some people from the rurals. I don't know, because I never did a fast track. I don't know what a fast track is. I look at that form and I say, people actually fill this out. They fill it out, and they waste their time filling out a fast track statement, and then they get to the merits, and it's a couple paragraphs on merits on somebody who's in prison for 15 years or a habitual criminal, for God's sakes. Justice is alive and well. By the way, we're going to invite Ben Carson. Because of John Lambros' suggestion about the Siamese twins, we're going to invite Ben Carson to join this IDC. Send a letter, Jamie, as soon as he drops out. Because somebody knows how to handle Siamese twins, it's Ben Carson, the doctor. All right, I've done enough. I've done enough damage to my reputation today. Let's see.
You put your foot down.
Is there any other business to come before the IDC? Is there any public comment? I don't think we have any more public comment. I do want to thank everybody for putting up with me today. I didn't feel very good, but I wanted to make sure we had this meeting. I'll meet with Jamie and try to put something together for February. Franny, thank you for taking on that assignment with the limited jurisdiction judges. They're a good group. They're a fun group, by the way. You have a good time with them. I went to them a couple times when I was chief, and I had a great time. And it's in Las Vegas at Aliante, which is a great hotel, by the way, a great fast food court. And they spend a lot of time hobnobbing. Pardon me?
Is the fast track hearing going to be in Carson City or Las Vegas?
We'll do both.
It's video both places. Yeah. We're going to send out the link to the information on that this after the meeting.
Yeah, December 10th at...
Andrew, what time, John?
1:30. December 10th at 1:30. And it's going to be in the Supreme Court courtroom and the Regional Justice Center. Can we do something for Reno, too, so they don't have to start on...
Generally, the hearings have only been done between our two courtrooms.
Okay, we'll try that. I'll ask the Washoe people to maybe come down here. All right, folks. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Yeah.
Diane, thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Second. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Thank you, folks. Have a great Thanksgiving and great holiday season. I'll see you all in February. Okay. I'll see you in December, Randall.